This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Our next guest, of course, is the very effervescent Matt Wade, who's the editor of Star Observer. Good morning to you, Matt.
Good morning. I was just thinking outside that I love that word, effervescent. I'm happy to take it. If you want to use that as my adjective every month, that's fine.
Effervescent, there you go.
Well, I think it actually works.
Well, they're not today. I'm just a bit dully. I don't think I'm looking very effervescent today. I don't know.
You always look effervescent. Okay. What are you talking about? I mean, just because you're wearing serious Melbourne black.
I know. I'm following the crowd. Did you both have a nice break over Christmas and
lovely.
The New Year?
Lovely.
Happy New Year to you, Matt.
Yeah, you too.
Did you have a great New Year?
Yeah, it was nice. It was kind of like the first break I'd had from work for a very long time, so it was nice to just kind of relax and switch off for a little bit.
Did you go away?
So I went cruising, actually. Well, sorry.
Cruising?
Sorry.
Cruising?
Not the other kind that is popular among some gay men. I went on a cruise.
I see.
Which was just, yeah.
So rather than cruising for a long period of time, you just went cruising once.
Yes, just that one time. Right. Yep. And it was really, really nice. It was just nice to kind of,
Where did the ship go?
It just went around like the South Pacific area. So like Vanuatu and New Caledonia and places like that. Just around like the islands. So it was nice to just kind of, swim at the beach and just relax. And
Was it warm or was it cold?
A couple of the days it was a bit overcast and rainy, but even then it was really humid. So it was always warm. It was never cold.
So how did you find life on board, Matt?
It was nice. It was very heterosexual. There were probably, I think I counted maybe like between 8 and 10 gay people. But, we were there. There was even a meetup group every day called the Friends of Dorothy. So there was some representation. And I saw a couple of straight couples walk up to the notice board where it said, Friends of Dorothy meeting at 4 p.m. And I heard them being like, oh, who's Dorothy? Like, she must have a lot of friends, which I thought was really, really
she
good.
She does. Dorothy has it.
So, Matt, why did you do a straight cruise and not the gay cruise? Because there's lots of gay cruises.
It's so true, yeah. I think it was just timing because I only had a kind of narrow window of a break and I just was looking at things I could potentially do that were relatively close, not too expensive. And I thought that was something that was just local-ish and affordable and I don't know, I just thought I'd try it.
I have a couple of friends, Matt, who love the gay cruises.
Oh, right, yeah.
And they've been trying to get my partner and I to come along for a couple of years now. I figure it's the sort of thing that I will do, a bit like train journeys and train holidays. I might leave that till I'm about 80.
Okay.
I can still walk and do things. So I rather the sort of bit of adventure.
But you know what? It's actually a misconception. Well, again, I haven't been on a gay cruise, but on the cruise that I went on, there's such a misconception that it's like just you do absolutely nothing. But it can be quite active as well. Yeah. Like you get off at the ports and you can go.
You can go on the running machine, can you?
No, we went kayaking and did different things. Like we were still active. Like it wasn't completely like a veg out kind of deal. So yeah, it was nice. But yeah, so you're hesitant to go on a gay cruise?
Well, I'm hesitant to go on any cruise till really I'm 80.
Okay.
I just figure while I can, while I'm still mobile and relatively fit,
something more adventurous.
I'll leave that till my sort of.
We'll move on from this. But one of the challenges of cruises is if you actually meet people that you don't enjoy their company, it's actually pretty hard to get away from them.
That's a good point, yeah.
If depending on what sitting at dinner you're at, they might end up on your table if you don't have your own little table. And it can be pretty difficult getting away from them other than throwing them overboard.
That did actually happen at one point where we were stuck on a table with a straight couple. And it wasn't because they were straight. It was more just because they were boring. So, like, we were sitting there for a couple of hours and they're like, oh, I'm a carpenter and this kind of stuff. And I was like, great. And then we just kind of made small talk for, it was very arduous.
Yeah. Anyway, Star Observer is 40 years old.
Yeah, so this year more broadly marks our 40th year in print, which is a massive milestone. Like, I was looking online and I believe some of our, I guess, sister publications in a way overseas, like Attitude and publications like that. I think they've been around for maybe 25, which again is a massive milestone, like Joy is celebrating. But 40 years is massive. So this year, we're just going to try to celebrate in any way we can and really, plug it, because it's really nice. I mean, particularly not even just queer media, but print media as well.
Any print.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah. And we've actually, I mean, I don't have a physical copy here to show you, but we've given our publication a bit of a facelift as well to, I guess, mark the occasion as well.
Ah.
Yeah, we've given it a bit of a new look. So I guess I thought, because it's a new year and it's our 40th, why not kind of, you know, add some new content in there, some new regular segments, but also just give it a new look to, you know, keep the readers interested.
I still have to say to you, your daily email...
Oh, the newsletter.
Yeah, no, it is such an important source of information.
Okay, I need to tell the team that, because they're always a bit wary that maybe we're just, it's a bit too much. Like,
no,
we're just like, keep on, you know?
No,
okay.
Keep on going. Keep on doing it. I love it.
That's good feedback. Thank you.
No, I actually think if anybody wants to know what's happening in the world of LGBTI issues, you must subscribe.
And I think particularly local LGBTI news, because, I mean, obviously, unfortunately, these days, I mean, Joy and Star Observer, I mean, there still are some other publications as well, but we're kind of the main ones that
are left.
If you want to find out about Australian LGBTI news, I mean, yeah, Joy and Star Observer are...
So, Matt, what's hot? What's the hot thing on your list?
At the moment? Well, at the moment, obviously, we're heading into, Pride season. So we've got Midsummer coming up in a week or so, and then Mardi Gras, and then Chill Out. So the start of the year is always actually the most fun, but also the most hectic, because obviously we've got all these Pride festivals coming up. So at the moment, we're just gearing up for Midsummer. We're obviously going to be at Carnival and marching in the parade, which is really fun. I don't think we've actually marched in the parade before, so that'll be really good.
Wow.
Yeah. We're just kind of gearing up for that. So in terms of news as well, a lot of it centered around that. We wrote a story in the past week about a group, it was a sweet story, but of a group of local mums who are planning to head along to Midsummer Carnival and offer free hugs for young LGBTIQ plus people. I think because, namely, you know, obviously LGBTI people disproportionately, you know, experience family rejection and isolation. So the mums kind of got together and thought, oh, well, maybe it's just, even if it's just a gesture, it might be quite nice if there's someone there that's maybe feeling a bit... ostracized from their family, they've got someone there to kind of a motherly figure in a way to provide them with that kind of acceptance. Does that make sense?
I think it's a really nice thing, actually. I read that and I thought it was one of those feel-good stories. I thought such a positive start to the year, really.
I agree, and especially around Pride season as well, those are the kind of stories that a lot of people want to read. I know that story in particular, I mean, we've only been back for about a week, but that just blew up because a lot of people just really responded to the idea that, you know, beyond Midsummer being a celebration of pride and identity, that there are people that are going that extra step to make sure that people, especially young people, you know, feel really included and welcome. Mm. So, yeah, it was a beautiful story.
So, Matt, the other story that caught my eye during the course of the week was, as we're leading into Pride season, we're also leading into Australia Day.
Yes.
Yes.
So what's happening around Australia Day this year?
Yeah, so I guess as many listeners may be aware of, every year Melbourne and I'm sure Sydney and Brisbane hold Invasion Day protests, I guess in support and solidarity with the Indigenous community. And last year, a local queer group in Melbourne called No Pride in Detention marched along with them. So it was, I believe it was the first time that an actual legitimate queer contingent was marching in the Invasion Day rally. And I spoke with a couple of the people that were there last year, and they were saying that a lot of Indigenous people at that rally walked up to them and were kind of saying, you know, it's about time that you guys were here with us. Not that there's necessarily never been a queer person at that much before, but to have an actual visibly queer group marching along there with a banner saying, you know, no pride in an invasion. So that same contingent are planning to march again and are hoping that more people will head along with them this year.
That's very interesting, I think, because there is a growing movement to actually question and challenge what the 26th of January really means for all of us.
Yeah.
The other thing I was going to say is that you may have heard of Reconciliation Action Projects, and there are a number of organisations who are being encouraged to actually, you know, develop one of these. And one of the issues that's emerging as an item for exploration and negotiation is to allow staff to choose whether they take their public holiday on the 26th of January or on another occasion.
Right, okay.
So that is interesting.
It falls on a Saturday this year, so...
So there will be no public holiday.
In my workplace, the Monday is the public holiday.
No, there wouldn't be. Well, that was legislated. Well, that's an individual organisation's choice. But in terms of the legislation, because it's the first time it's been legislated in Victoria, I think it was Kenneth who might have introduced it, actually, people are now saying, well, you know, we want to actually do this differently.
Mm. Yeah.
We've got a bit of feedback for you, Matt, and I wonder whether, Macca, you might have a go at just reading it out. Just a bit of feedback, and perhaps you might like to respond.
It's, sure.
One of our listeners from Sydney, yeah, Dave.
Dave from Sydney, he said, I haven't read Star Observer for years due to its promotion of sexuality as a commodified lifestyle. He said he's discovered Archer magazine, says it's a wonderful mag that explores the diversity that exists under the rainbow. Sexuality is a commodified lifestyle, man.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, first of all, I'll just say, I actually think Archer Magazine is incredible. I actually have contributed to Archer Magazine before I got the job at Star Observer multiple times. I think, yeah, they do a great job. I think they're quarterly maybe or biannual, but yeah, they cover a lot of really amazing intersectional issues. And I guess what I say to Dave is, I mean, the Star Observer obviously has gone through many iterations over the last 40 years in terms of the coverage, in terms of our coverage, the people who write for the publication, but particularly for the last year and a half, or at least since I've been in this role, and not to discount my predecessors, but I've tried to really actively make sure that we're covering the whole gamut of the community and the issues that are important to the community. So I'd encourage Dave to pick up a copy.
Have another look.
And have another look, yeah.
Dave, thank you for your feedback. Yes. It's always good to know what our listeners think.
Of course.
And thank you for responding so honestly and so openly about that, Matt.
No problem.
So, Matt, what else is hot? What else is hot on your agenda?
Well, one thing actually, and this again ties into Midsummer in a sense, but I noticed that, I guess, in this year's program, there's quite a large emphasis on the body. So in many different ways, there's a whole body stream actually in Midsummer this year, which I guess highlights and champions trans, gender diverse and intersex performers. So for our January issue in particular, we've tried to cover a number of stories around that. So I spoke with a number of trans and gender diverse performers about how, I guess, they use their work to destigmatize their bodies. I was speaking to a couple of different people who say that, you know, oftentimes they get very invasive and intrusive questions by members of the cisgender community, and it's quite uncomfortable for them. And when they're out in public, separate from their performing life, they kind of just want to be invisible. They don't want their bodies to be on display for people to ogle them or make these uncomfortable comments. So, but when they're on stage, they're able to kind of guide the narrative around their identities and their bodies. So it was really nice. That's our cover story actually in the January issue. But we've also covered a couple of other things, which I think one of which you may have covered last week, which was around Consent Festival.
Yes.
So we did a piece around consent in queer spaces in the January issue, and also gay nudists. So we've done a few different things around the body and body positivity and things like this, because I think that's kind of an important thing, particularly as it aligns with Midsummer this year.
And I just need to say that Dave from Sydney has just sent back another email.
Oh,
saying,
okay.
Thank you. He's acknowledged what you've said. And Dave says he will check out the latest issue.
Well, thanks, Dave. And I'm actually, even though I don't have a copy here in Joy at the moment, I know there are plenty of places you can pick them up around Sydney. So, yeah, please grab a copy.
Macca, I did have a question from 317.
Yep.
317 asked me to rate a party that I attended over the New Year period.
You've been going to this party for eons.
I have. It's Tropical Fruit. So I'm 317. If you really want to know what my score out of 10 is, it's 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
I reckon it's one of the finest events that I attend. I don't like talking it up too much because
I don't want everybody to
go there and take over. Mm. You know, it's actually a little bit like a sort of, it reminds me of, you know, when I came out in the 80s, really, in a sense, when it was inclusive, it was diverse, there were men, there were women. But what was even better than Tropical Fruits was almost a week later, I was in a tiny country town called Billy Nudgel. Has anybody ever heard of Billy Nudgel?
I haven't.
No, neither had I.
No.
Billy Nudgel has a pub and a railway station that doesn't work anymore. Like, there's no train that goes through the railway station.
A bit like V-Line.
And there's a shop across the road that sells really good potato cakes when you're sort of of a carb loading. You know, the sort of country town that I mean. Mm. And at the pub, they have an event called Nudge, Nudge, Wink, Wink. And we were lucky enough to be able to purchase a ticket, though, $15 each. And went along with a couple of our friends. It turned out we knew dozens of people there.
As in from Tropical Fruits, had they gone, or just generally you just happen to know?
Just generally. You know, people that we know that live in the region, you know, the Northern Rivers region.
Because he's a very social person.
And we turn up and I've never felt this before, and I'm not going to declare my age on air, but I was average age group.
Mm-hmm.
Average age group. So I reckon there were people There's nobody really under the age of 40.
So you would have remembered when Star Observer first came out.
Of course, of course. But there was really nobody there that was under maybe 35. There were a couple of 35-year-olds.
So what was...
And right up to in their 80s. So it was extraordinary.
So nudge, nudge, wink, wink, what's the purpose of it?
It's just a little party. It's a Sunday afternoon party.
Oh, nice.
It starts at 2 and it goes through till about 9. Steve Elkins was the DJ that we know, who's a Sydney DJ. Who's now retired up in Brunswick Heads. It was wonderful.
One thing I was going to ask, actually, and this is in relation to Tropical Fruits, and I might get the details of the story wrong, but I believe, wasn't there like a rainbow crossing or a rainbow mural or something in Lismore, and then to tie in with Tropical Fruits, someone had graffitied like a homophobic Bible verse over it?
Yes.
Was that am I getting that right?
I think it happened just before the Tropical Fruits party took place, but it was certainly part of the festival.
Mm.
But, you know, interestingly enough, the council have put a lot of effort into supporting this.
Mm.
We went to the launch of the party and the mayor turned up and said, look, you know, this event brings in over $3 million worth of economic impact to Lismore as a town. And when you walk around the streets of Lismore, you can see that it's actually, it's a bit of a depressed place. You know, it's been beaten around. It's had a bit of a tough time. But, you know, things like this help to create a sense of a place buzz. And a bit of a buzz.
Yeah, that's true.
People love it.
It becomes part of the town's identity in a way because they know each year that this
is going to happen.
Yeah.
So, Macca, we've got some feedback here.
We've got a correction, Tess.
Yeah, so what's it say?
Well, why don't you... You're the one that made the mistake.
Okay, I did make a mistake. It looks like it. Thank you, Davin. For your feedback. Davin says, the Victorian government has gazetted the 28th of January to be Australia Day in lieu of a holiday.
So Australia Day is still the 26th.
Mm. Think you will find all Australian governments have done the same, only Anzac Day is observed on the day that most Aussie states. There you go.
So the public holiday...
I stand to be corrected.
You get the Monday, but there will be people doing things... You know, around Australia Day, depending on what it is they're doing.
Yeah.
Thank you, Devon. It's always good to hear these things. We have another message here that says, it's like our nice laneways and restaurants are hidden secret. That's absolutely correct, 317.
But that's talking about...
It's about tropical fruits.
Tropical fruits, yeah.
Yeah, it is a bit of a hidden thing. I mean, what I love about it, as I said, is the inclusive nature.
Mm.
There's about three different dance halls. Mm-hmm. They're not massive. There's a men's space. There's a women's space. Mm. There's a trans space.
Ah, cool, yeah.
Radical Fairies have a space. Mm-hmm. There's lots of support. ACON have all of their roving officers who sort of, you know, keep an eye on people and first aid and all that sort of stuff. It is, and there's a best fireworks display. There's an art show. What can I say?
I'm sold. I would love to go. I have friends who go every single year and swear by it. So I should, I'm making my goal. This upcoming one, I'd love to. I think it'd be really fun to go to.
Okay, well, it sounds like I'll be seeing you next year as well.
Oh, no, I can next year you'll be on a cruise test.
No, I'm not 80 next year.
I could actually see you on a European river cruise.
Oh.
You know, on the big long boats that they have in Europe, you know.
Oh, I did do a Murray River thing one Easter with some friends. It was horrible.
This is a bit more upscale.
There were six of us that hired one of those boats.
No, we're not talking about it.
We had to drive it ourselves.
Oh, gosh.
Of course, I didn't go anywhere near the steering wheel.
No.
I wasn't going to touch that.
So what was bad about it? Because someone actually was saying that might be a good idea. Like a friend group of mine was saying, like, oh, we should do that one time. So tell me. Yeah, nip it in the bud.
No,
like, why?
No, don't. I'll tell you why. Because... As soon as the sun rises, people get onto their jet skis.
Oh, right.
And they just jet ski up and down the river all day, right till the sun goes
down. So it's not a tranquil kind of, like, relaxing holiday, you know, it's kind of,
No. And you think you've actually just sort of floated off into and found a little niche somewhere and you just, you know, moor for a while and you sort of, pull out your Barbie and start cooking away and all of a sudden the jet skis go up and down all day non-stop. And I don't know what you know about the profile of jet skiers.
Have you ever jet ski?
No.
I have not.
No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that.
It's fantastic.
No.
Oh, why not, Tess?
No. That's just dangerous.
Well, people have obviously never ridden in your car as a passenger.
So, Matt, is there anything else that's hot on your agenda? Stories you want to share with us?
Well, this week, I don't know if you've covered it already, but this week a lot of people were talking about the Greens candidate who's running against Tanya Plibersek in the federal election.
No.
Matthew Thompson?
No.
Yeah, so basically it was announced that he's going to be running against Tanya Plibersek for the seat of Sydney in the upcoming election.
The Greens always run a candidate in all the inner city seats, though, don't they?
Yeah, and I should make it clear, obviously, that Tanya Plibersek's seat has been safe for, like, I think she's had it since 1998, so it's a very safe Labor seat. However, the Daily Telegraph published a story at the start of the week, I believe it was, dredging up old social media posts from this candidate that were about Mardi Gras and gay clubbing, and were kind of holding into question whether he was, I guess, suitable for the role on the basis of those posts. So I'm not sure. Did you see these posts at all?
No.
No. So what was the nature? Is it?
I want to make sure I quote it correctly. Yes. But
well,
basically,
the Daily Telegraph.
Yeah. There were two posts that they had pulled up. One of them was a photo of him at the Imperial Hotel with glitter on his face, and he was kind of making a RuPaul reference and saying something along the lines of, you know, category is glitter smothered raging alcoholic in mesh and snapback. So that was kind of him just describing, but he was kind of being comical. Like, it wasn't anything heavy. And then the other post was him at the Mardi Gras parade after having marched with the Greens, and the caption was, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this, but it was, weekends of slut dropping benders at ARC have bode me well, I guess, fared me well for doing this. And that's, I guess, just like a dance move, like just dropping low to the ground.
So what does that mean?
So I guess, yeah, he was just writing like silly posts over Mardi Gras and whatever, just kind of expressing that he was having fun and whatever. But the Daily Telegraph,
his integrity's been challenged because of these posts.
Yeah, they're kind of saying, oh, should he be put forward as a candidate in light of these kind of scandalous posts. And so I interviewed him during the week, and he was basically just saying how, you know, it falls into this whole idea of respectability politics. It's like, you know, whether it's the media or the government or whoever, it's like you're allowed to be gay or you're allowed to be whatever, but only so much
you're
gay.
You're not allowed to, you know, be out there.
Flaunt it, yeah. So he was just saying, you know, he was upset, I guess, because the message that article, and it wasn't just the Daily Telegraph, it was also the Daily Mail, so, you know, we can't have one without the other.
The Daily Mail.
Is the candidate gay?
He is queer, yeah. And yeah, he was posting stuff, you know, back in Mardi Gras last year, just kind of like, just finished marching the Greens. It's just, I think the phrases that he used, they kind of thought, oh, you know, that's just, you know, that's not something a politician would write, so they were questioning it. And
would say that the Daily Telegraph isn't something a journalist would write.
Well, that's a good point.
I mean,
but don't we want our politicians to reflect we the people who we are,
and that's what he was, our diversity? Yeah, that's what he was saying to me. It was like one of those things. It's like the government and parliament have so historically just looked so homogenous, and it's like people like us want to see ourselves reflected in them, and that includes people that write, you know, silly Instagram posts from, you know, a year ago, like just something that's so inconsequential. So
I mean, it's a little bit like the issue of should our politicians be allowed to also, you know, go to sex clubs. My personal view about that is, who cares?
Yeah.
If it's consensual,
really,
and everything's
cares?
Yeah,
exactly.
I get it, yeah.
But don't go around telling us how to behave, which
yeah.
is
yeah.
Now don't forget,
I shouldn't take us down that tunnel, really, should I?
A few years ago, the Daily Telegraph, when Anthony Albanese, Elbo, was, you know, under a little bit of threat in his seat from the Greens, and the Daily Telly ran I'm pretty sure it was front page, "Save Our Elbow."
Oh, wow, yeah.
Right, you know, that they couldn't imagine that the people in his seat would vote for this Green, and that they needed to vote for Elbow. So the Daily Telegraph ran a campaign, "Save Our Elbow," which Elbow, I think, loved. He thought it was quite funny. But, you know, it just shows how, you know, I mean, okay, the Daily Telly, but I mean, the Daily Mail, I mean, God, it's a shit sheet. A digital shit show.
I'm not going to go there.
But what's interesting is that actually, a lot of our readers, I mean, I assumed, maybe this is my own bias playing into it, but I assumed everyone would be like, oh, this is so ridiculous the way they've painted him based on these really silly, innocuous Mardi Gras posts. But our readers were actually a bit more divided than I anticipated. Okay. Like, there were some people who I thought, you know, if you're a candidate for a particular party running in the election, yeah, that you shouldn't have that kind of stuff on your social media. It should be quite sanitized. So I don't know. It's
probably why I could never run.
Yeah, it's a really interesting point, isn't it?
I think
even our community, you know, is not homogenous.
No, it's not.
We know that, and I think what we always need to do is to be respectful and courteous and try to see other people's points of view as well. But that doesn't mean that we have to sanitize ourselves and not be who we are. I mean, you know, Macca likes to express a point of view, as do I and as do you. And we should be able to do that, but we should be able to do that in a respectful way.
No, I completely agree. And I think that the language that he used wasn't actually discriminatory. It wasn't hateful. It was actually completely, inconsequential, as I mentioned. So I just got the impression very much that it was because, he was just being so unashamedly queer and also maybe potentially using, you know, youthful language that maybe people from the Daily Telegraph or whoever may have been unfamiliar with it. They just thought, oh, this is just something we don't want in politics. We don't want in Parliament. So they just tried to...
Well, we do. We do want young people in Parliament. We do want a diverse range of people in Parliament.
Yeah, exactly.
We just don't want a bunch of old, angry white men.
Yeah.
Matt, it's been lovely to have you back in the studio.
Anytime. Thank you for having me. I always appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, no, we love you. Love you coming in.
Effervescent. Effervescent,
Matt.
Effervescent.
And please pick up a copy of the January issue of Star Observer. It's our 40th year, so we're hoping to do lots of great, big and amazing things this
and
year.
And subscribe to the Daily News Bulletin.
I thought about to say Daily Telegraph. Sorry. Daily News Bulletin, yes, our newsletter. Please subscribe to that as well.
Well, I can't do without it. It's my go-to source of information.
Thank you.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Matt Wade, editor of Star Observer, 40 years old this year.
Yeah.
The paper, not Matt.
And we had some really good feedback and engagement from our listeners this morning, Macca.
Yes, and here we go. Should politicians be able to attend sex club? Who cares as long as they're not claiming it against parliamentary expenditure?
Exactly right.
That's right.
That's from Brad, my favourite name.
That's right. We we do not want the errant ferret being on the tax on the expenses list.
Well, no. I mean, you shouldn't be able to do that. I mean, you can't do those sorts of things.
No.
On any payroll, really. So why should you do it on the public purse?
That's
I mean, if you want to go to sex clubs, that's your business.
That's right.
Do it in your own time.
Yeah.
At your own expense.
Yeah. Otherwise, you might be subject to FBT.
Hey, Brad, thanks for your comment.
And I don't mean the fringe benefits tax.
Thank you for your comment, Brad. It's always good to hear from our listeners and to hear what they have to say.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.